Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to talk about something different today than that one play. We're going to talk about new rules proposals that'll be voted at the ownership meetings this week. Got some interesting new rules, not any groundbreaking stuff, and I don't think any groundbreaking stuff that's going to get passed this year, but I thought we'd go through these one by one in terms of what was proposed, get an idea of who's proposing these things, who might vote for it, who might not, and joining me to do that is Alec Boulianos. Alec, how are you doing?
Doing well, Ken. This is a really cool idea. I'm glad that you reached out to me to do it. I had a lot of fun reading through it.
Yep, it's definitely some interesting stuff, and NFL Communications does a good job of summarizing these and putting these out for us, so I do appreciate that as well. Alec, tell folks where they can talk football with you online. Let's do that first.
Sure. You can find us on Twitter at OneWinningPod and OneWinningPod.com with our podcast. We're going to start digging into the draft soon.
All right, very good. And Alec will be on for a draft show, and we hope certainly on draft night to do the trade analysis that he's done in the past before.
Hopefully. It'll be a really late night for me, but I hope to be able to log on.
all right. Very good. So let's talk 2023 playing rule proposals. So there are in total 17 of these, some more important than others, and we will be whipping through some of these that don't matter nearly as much, including number one. So the Philadelphia Eagles propose to permit the use of zero as a jersey number, and allow kickers and punters to use any jersey numbers between 0 and 49 and 90 and 99.
Yep. Great.
critical rule there. I love this. On each one of these, they've got an effect and a reason. And the reason is flexibility in assigning jersey numbers. I think it's important to note that 24 out of 32 have to approve this. So the Eagles may have to buy a few drinks to get some of these things approved. But I wouldn't see a problem allowing this to happen. And the kind of team that might say no to it would be a team that had Jim Otto in the past say, and they don't want some of this stuff violated. They don't want, yeah, you know, have additional numbers, 00 or whatever included. So I it's an interesting choice, but I don't know if it'll make it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I've always disliked the number changes that happen. Just hard to tell who's who on the field. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, if we're going to do it, just go all the way. You know, why not?
All right. Well, number two gets down to a really fundamental change. It would be a big change to the game, but it won't get approved, or at least I don't believe it'll get approved. This is another one from the Eagles that amends what happens in what would normally be an onside kick and would allow a team to maintain possession if they attempt a fourth and 20 instead from their own 20-yard line. Mm-hmm. Big change. It has been talked about before. Sometimes I think I've heard it as fourth and 15 before, but fourth and 20 is an interesting possibility. Certainly a fairly significant rule change in terms of making the games go down to the wire more. It's definitely one that favors the trailing team for sure. It's the reason is given is competitive equity and fan engagement. What do you think of that one?
This is definitely the most saucy of them all. And kind of reminds me of some of the XFL rules that we've seen. And this is a very high variance play because it is a fourth and 20 from your 20. If you throw an incompletion, the other team gets the ball at the 20-yard line. There are also a few other interesting notes in the document where you had to be behind and you can only do it twice a game. So it's also, you couldn't really play keep away that way, which it's like if you're ahead and just trying to get further ahead.
I can't imagine trying using this as a valid strategy to play keep away seems unusual, if not impossible. But
yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
but it's a one-sided rule in the case of favoring the trailing team. I've always said the balance of strategies favor the trailing team in the NFL. That's generally true because additional points don't matter for the leader. They do for the trailing team. And so when you have a one-sided thing like this, they can judge if it's better than their chance of converting fourth and 20 is better than their chance of recovering an onside kick, which for most teams, it probably is, by the way. Mm-hmm. You're probably talking about a 15% chance, 17% chance to make a fourth and 20, where it'd be 5% or thereabouts to recover an onside kick.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's definitely a lot higher. I think the hard part about it is it's also a higher risk play. So you're probably going to give up worst field position if you fail.
I don't think field position matters. It would be my point on
sure.
That's
a good point. Yeah.
So it's you're giving up. You're basically increasing your chance to have a chance to win the game from 5 to 15%. How about that?
Yeah, that's a good point to put it. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to number three here. This is the Los Angeles Chargers put this one in. Make adjustment of the play clock following an instant replay reversal consistent with other timing rules. Fairly arcane, and obviously they probably have an axe to grind in this situation, although I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I wasn't able to find it either. A couple of these definitely felt like something went wrong last year, and they're just like consistency of the game things, and I have a hard time saying no to these things. I feel like the NFL should be a well-oiled machine, and if they find holes in their the way the game flows, that should be cleared up.
Yeah, I agree. But you can definitely, the team proposed rules, and so a lot of these we're going to get to, are proposed by the competition committee separately. Mm-hmm. So the competition committee wants, so those have a much better chance to go in. They basically have passed the competition committee, and they're a subgroup of the teams in the leagues already said, we want to do this effectively. So there's a pretty good chance those ones will go through, but the individual team ones very often are axe to grind situations. The next one by Detroit, expand the coach's challenge system to include personal fouls called on the field. So again, I don't know what particular play they're talking about. This has been something that's been proposed by Belichick in the past, that just make everything reviewable, include personal fouls and pass interference calls. And pass interference calls, they did have reviewable for a short period of time. Yep. But those are now, again, not reviewable, correct?
Yep, we've been down this road before, is a note I had. I feel as though it's going to go the same way as the pass interference, where even when you watch the replay and most people are like, oh, yeah, that's not pass interference, that was a clean play, they'll have take lock and be like, nah, we got it right. They don't want to show weakness. And I think the top level problem is the officiating can be inconsistent, and this is what they're trying to clear up. What I find really interesting about this rule is that rule eight is like, basically, if we can't get this one is like a smaller subset of more plays to get reviewed. So I don't know. We'll see how this goes. So Detroit wants all of it, and the Rams want a little bit less.
Yes. Yes. All right. So Detroit's next submission, and they made three in total, was to provide clubs more opportunities for a third challenge. Now, this is fairly arcane. Got a number of things going on here. One of them was that if one of the two teams commits a foul that prevents the next snap, they can no longer challenge the previous play. So a good example would be the intentional offsides play. We've seen three times now from Chuck Clark, mm-hmm. as his time as the Ravens defensive captain, where he just lined up in the backfield or jumped offsides and intentionally gave a first down to the opponent. But that play would not have prevented a challenge of the previous play, and nor would a other certain fouls that like a delay of game penalty, for example. They still allow for a challenge of that play. But this is interesting. They want that specifically carved out as something the non-fouling team can challenge and the fouling team cannot.
Yeah, I feel like there had to be an axe to grind here, right? So, yes. Yeah, it's so random. But I think the other thing that's interesting about this rule change is that if you had a single challenge, right,
yes.
you'll get an extra challenge, which I think I don't hate because there's definitely a lot of challenges where they're quite close. And I think there are reasonable challenges. They didn't go the other way. And the fact that, you know, I just want the game to be more correct. I honestly think like anything that we can do to review more high leverage plays and seamlessly to the game would be beneficial.
I'm okay if there's a replay judge initiating that, but the current rules make the first challenge a really critical point, because if you fail your first challenge, you won't get three. You only have one more, and then you have to be extra careful with that one. So you got to make sure you win your first challenge in the NFL as it goes right now. And I think that's actually helps a lot of plays that are fairly marginal in terms of value get not challenged, which I think is generally a pretty good thing to just allow the game to continue without, you know, a 2 or 3 minute break.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point, is that your trigger happiness on the first one's very slow down. But yeah, we'll see. I think I find this unlikely to pass.
Yes, I would agree. I think it's unlikely to pass. Now, and again, it's a team related one. Number six, also the Lions, expands the replay official's jurisdiction to allow for consultation regarding to a penalty assignment. And I really would have to know what kind of axe they're grinding here on this one as well. But this is an interesting one. This is a penalty assignment to a player and on failed fourth down attempts, it would also impact. So an interesting, no, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong one. I'm on the wrong one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, so go ahead, your comments on it.
I mean, this is another like really weird one. The added line is a foul that has been called involving the position of a player or action at beyond or behind a specific distance from the line of scrimmage. Sure. I don't even really understand what they're trying to get at here. They basically add another or to their statement about what kind of areas the foul can be called on.
Okay. And they've got, what I'm looking at has A through J in terms of individual elements they're looking at as being reviewable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's quite a lot. It's spot of the foul, the proper down, the game clock, possession, completed intercepted pass. It would move challenges to be more like what basketball officials do. What we've grown very accustomed to, I think, during March Madness here, is seeing the officials go to the scorer's table and put on the correct tenths of a second on the game clock and this sort of thing. But there are other problems that occur with spotting the football that can be kind of significant. And if there is one other set of eyes working on that, I think that's generally a good thing. So looking at the set of ones that are proposed by teams, I actually think this is probably the best chance to pass and get a 75% vote. That if, you know, having an eye in the sky that basically says you got the spot of the ball wrong. There was a famous one in Ravens history. It's actually happened more than once that the football has been spotted incorrectly after a blocked field goal in a Ravens game. If a field goal is blocked within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage and it goes out of bounds without touching a second player, it's actually returned to the spot of the kick. That's something that was that has not been done correctly at least twice in Ravens history. And I would love to, to see an on the ball, eye in the sky official, or even a New York or whatever it might be, say you got the spot wrong. That should be, back at the spot of the kick, or that should be wherever it is, right? Depending on the type of infraction.
Right. Okay. So now I understand better. Basically, this is a line of scrimmage consultation, which I think they already do. So maybe they're codifying it.
Spot of a lateral, that sort of thing is also included in this. So if it's not in the final 2 minutes, they don't have to waste a challenge. An eye in the sky could say, hey, that's a backwards pass or that's a forwards pass. No need to challenge that play.
Yep.
All right. We move on. That's it for Detroit. And there are three. Houston wants to expand the replays official's jurisdiction to allow review on failed fourth down attempts. This would be pretty broad. This would be a pretty significant change, but it's also one that it's very difficult often to get good review evidence on. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I think I like the idea of, I think this is going to be somewhat rare. It has to be in a play where it kind of goes back to the line of scrimmage debate, where it probably had failed because of just being short. And then the question is, will it be reviewed to change the spot? Because, an incompletion, that's pretty clear. There's nothing to do there, right? Et cetera.
What this would potentially look at and not cost a challenge for teams is the ability to look down from whatever cameras are there and get a better measurement of where the ball is, or a better spotting of the football from that without having to use a challenge. But what I find is that pile up plays on fourth down, particularly, any kind of pile up run play where there's a reach involved, you can't tell from any camera angle anyway. I mean, you just can't get a clear enough read on that. And there's other, one of the big ones is if there's a fumble that occurs where they cannot see the fumble, they can't, they can't change possession of the ball, even if someone else comes out with it. So that has occasionally come up. It came up in a 2006 game where the Ravens played the Titans, interestingly enough. But anyway, it comes up from time to time, I would say, in the NFL. So this one, I think this one is probably not going to pass. I think they will need to maybe codify it differently or better before it's done. The other thing they haven't done in the NFL yet is really to use electronic elements of a football spotting, and they've got it obviously for the accurate to within a couple inches, I believe it is, to it's accurate to within 0.01 yards in their XY calculations that they have for the by play. So 0.01 yards is what, a third of an inch roughly.
That's pretty close.
They would typically be able to get it. Now, that may not, the orientation of the football may actually throw you off more than whatever marker is on the football, which may be on the end, maybe in the middle, maybe whatever. And the orientation of the football could still throw you off by more. But anyway, I think they need to do more with electronic tagging of the football before they go to something like this. I guess with, what would be interesting, and the technology I'm sure exists, if you can target weapons from 50 miles away, you can certainly do this, that if you had a tracker on each end of the football to the 2 points, then you can predict every other point that's on the football.
Yep.
So you would lose the orientation issue would go away for you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The curvature of the ball and all that good stuff. So,
yep. All right. Well, let's go to number 8. This is the Rams, and they want to make fouls for roughing the passer called on the field subject to replay, assist, or review by a coach's challenge. Now, I'm surprised the Ravens did not propose this one, because the Ravens seem to get beat by the rules on roughing the passer more than anybody. And they had a couple really bad ones this last year. I think this would be a good one. I don't think there are enough teams pissed off about roughing the passer the way the Ravens are defensively, or that don't have a good quarterback they don't want to protect to have this pass 75%.
Yeah, this is the one I would say is like the watered down version of number 4, because number 4, if it passes, would include roughing the passer.
A good point.
But this is like...
Hey guys, I want to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock. Because when I'm not podcasting, I am. My day job is a smart home specialist. And the Eufy Video Smart Lock is perfect. This is what you guys need to go get. It replaces the deadbolt on your door. So now you can come home without fumbling with keys. You can just type in a code. Or even better, use your fingerprint to unlock after 1 second. You put your finger there, pops out, my door's open. It's perfect. It also is an integrated video doorbell. We've all seen the video doorbells. We all know the ones that are out there. I've seen many of them get stolen. No one's going to steal this because it's your door lock. It's impossible for them to steal. There's no monthly fee. Other ones do. But this one, it'll record locally, so you never have to pay if you don't want to. The battery, it lasts up to 4 months. Plus, it notifies you ahead of time. And I mentioned earlier, 1 second fingerprint recognition. No, I meant 1 second till it opens. The AI self-learning chip will learn your fingerprint even faster, and then it opens up. Completely keyless entry, no more keys. And I know I set this up as I'm a smart home specialist, but anyone can install this. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. That's it. And then you're done. Guys, I love this product. Make sure you check it out. Now, here's the easiest thing to do. Just go on to Google or whatever you prefer and search Eufy Video Lock. That's EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door, just like me, just like Ken.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Man, roughing the passer kills me sometimes. I feel like a lot of times it's called, like you said, I mean, as a Ravens fan, we see these calls and you're like, there's nothing else they could have done. Like if you're trying to sack the quarterback, you know, you're just going to get stuck. So I don't know. I would love to make it challengeable and maybe roll back some of those really bad ones, but I also don't see it passing.
I one of the things that would be difficult to do in terms of roughing the passer is one of the elements is, if the player falls with his weight on the quarterback or intentionally drives the quarterback into the turf or that sort of thing, I think sometimes that's maybe knowable and other times it's not. But maybe if the on-field call included driving into the turf, it would not be reviewable. Mm-hmm. Because then you can do it and from any distance, you can end up driving the quarterback into the turf. And basically the official is making their own call unreversible by saying that, which is not great, but it could be a way to go. Or you run the risk that you know, you have a lot of half step and one step personal roughing the passers called that we as Ravens fans have traditionally been the victim of over the years.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not sure which way this will go. I feel like this is one of those things that they want to keep ambiguous, mm-hmm. which is, I think, sad to say, but I think it's the kind of the truth.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think it passes. Number nine is the Jets want to expand the crackback prohibition to players who go in motion and go beyond the center to block. They have parenthetically split flow block a defender below the waist. Here is what I believe they mean. So let's say you have a pulling player, a pulling guard. You then are a player who passes the center and you then work through your hole without finding your block yet. And you may conserve your momentum and head upfield, or you may turn and look for a scraping player of some sort, usually a linebacker, perhaps also a lineman, might be more effective on a lineman. And you might look to block him high, or you might look to cut him low at that point. And this is mm-hmm. saying basically that the Jets want that ruled out. And again, I think this probably relates to some sort of an injury that they had last year, but I don't know who it was. But that would be my guess.
Right. And we were talking a little bit before the show, cause I was a little confused by this one, that we think maybe the Ravens would not vote for this due to their, blocking.
Yeah, I mean, they with all the pull blocks the Ravens have, all the motion from Ricard, anytime that the snap basically is in front of Ricard, then he's limited and he can't make a cut block heading back towards the football, which that I don't think the Ravens would go for that at all. There almost never be a time where Ricard would be making a cut block to the outside because anybody on the outside is going to be a smaller player. The larger players are going to be on the inside and they're he might or he might not really be looking to cut, but if it's a defensive lineman, that's where he'd be most likely to want to cut that player. And yeah, the Ravens would have no interest in this rule passing. And I think there's probably enough teams that would be in that situation that they would not want it, that it would not pass rather. All right, let's go on to number 10. This is now we start all the competition committee ones. The competition committee did the last eight. So as we mentioned earlier in the show, the competition committee puts it out there, better chance it passes.
Yep. I don't like this first one, though.
Go ahead.
So this one is to change the definition of a launch to leaving one or both feet. And I just think this is glutton for confusion of steps and launching. Like, I'm very curious what the difference is of a step versus launching, if it's one step.
Well, they probably have it defined right now as leaving both feet. And so they're saying they want it to be one or both now, mm-hmm. which is different. So they have someone has one foot on the ground. They can't be hit up with a launching penalty. But now if they leave one foot, you can still launch. I assume that's what this means.
Right.
This is obviously a player safety rule. It's proposed by the competition committee, so it wouldn't surprise me if it passes. But this is one of the ones I just don't know. This is one of the ones we'll wait till the end of the week and we'll hear what they've approved.
Yeah, I think I'm just confused what launching really means with one foot versus two. Like 2 feet, I can understand, but I don't know really how you can launch with one foot still on the ground.
Yeah.
Sounds like a pivot, if anything.
All right. Why don't you go through the competition committee ones and introduce these and your comments first?
So number 12 is to make the penalty for illegal handing the ball forward consistent with other illegal acts, such as an illegal forward pass, which, sure, why not?
This arose, no doubt, out of somebody's individual problem who was on the competition committee.
Right.
And it was then brought forward. Yeah, that's what is one of the interesting things. The Ravens, the Bengals, and the Steelers all have representation on a relatively small total competition committee. Like, there might be 12 or 14 in total, but three teams in the AFC North are represented. So each of them in a way, excuse me, does not need to have their individual team make requests. They try and make proposals through the competition committee and see if they can get them approved there first. And if they couldn't get them through the competition committee, which might have 14 teams there, they're probably not going to get them through the owners. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to propose the thing individually.
Right. That's a good point.
I think you might have skipped over one, the tripping foul, number 11.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I was actually like about to read that one. So thanks for calling me out on that. So to make the penalty for tripping a personal foul, my thought is that we don't really have much of a tripping problem in the league, and the penalty already results in 10 yards and a first down. So I don't really see this being super necessary. I also don't see it being that big of a difference if it is passed.
So I guess one thing would be you could get thrown out of the game for it if it were flagrant, or if you did it twice in the same game would be something. So there's probably some particular team that doesn't want that. It is a fairly significant injury risk play. Usually happens when a lineman is down on the field for some reason. He's not being in good control of his legs, and it rolls over. One of his legs swings up in the air and catches somebody, who then makes an awkward trip to the ground. And that can often result in it can definitely result in some pretty significant injuries. So it's one that I wouldn't have a problem if it were a personal foul. I kind of look at it the way high sticking in hockey works. A lot of things can happen to get your stick high in hockey, including your opponent whipping it into the air. but you got to have control over your own stick. It's one of the real basic rules. You can't, risk hitting people in the chin in hockey. And this is kind of the same thing with your legs that you're doing on a tripping play. So I wouldn't be opposed to this passing. I think it's probably got a pretty good chance, given what it is.
I think I saw a few players do it last year too. I think that might have spurred it. Like a lineman falls down, they like flip their leg and trip the ball carrier and stuff like that.
While you introduce this next one, I'll try and find out how many tripping calls there were last year.
Okay, great. So the next one is to make the penalty for illegal punts, drop kicks, or place kicks consistent with other illegal acts, such as illegal forward passes. This was one that I didn't realize was happening. I was like, I guess you need to codify it so people don't try to pull shenanigans, but like I feel like this doesn't even happen. This would never be called.
I'm trying to figure out what that could even be born of, but
I was thinking Lamar punting the ball after out of frustration. Like legitimately is the only thing I could think of.
Oh, I wonder if that could be what they're talking about there.
But it's not like, it's after the play, so it doesn't feel like a real thing. This feels like a during the play, but I don't know. I was confused by it.
This is interesting because one of the things, it's a little known rule in football, is you're allowed to kick the ball from any spot on the field. If you're if you're running free, breaking the free for a touchdown, if you want to kick then, if you want to drop kick and try and make a 3-point play, you can do all of that at any point in the field. It's one of the things the ball carrier is always allowed to do. It's interesting to me that this would be, and the illegal forward pass is used as an analogy here, but I'm really trying to understand why this would be, what this actually refers to in terms of a particular play somebody's got something stuck up their rear end about.
Yeah, I know that after they pass the rules, there's usually videos to provide like the difference, like what's been changed kind of thing. I wanted a video to explain this in the first place because I'm confused by it,
Yeah. Yeah, it probably does relate to one specific event that one team is upset about. What about number 14, which would be a fairly significant rules change?
Oh, yeah, this is a big one. So this would put the ball at the receiving team's 25-yard line when a touchback occurs on a punt. This is really interesting because it would really change the calculus, I think, of the aggression of punts and also if they would want to go for it or not. I don't like it one way or the other. I think it's interesting enough that I wouldn't be mad if it gets passed, but it definitely makes your punter more important, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. John Madden used to say, he always used to tell his return man, the furthest back you'll take a fair catch is the 8-yard line. And I feel like that would change if there's the risk of the ball coming out to the 25. You wouldn't fair catch at the 8 anymore. You'd hope for the ball to roll into the end zone. It definitely changes the strategy of when you want to field a punt or not. Really interesting.
Indeed. The next one is to prevent the offense from benefiting by an extension of the half as a result of their foul. They go on to say in the transcript, like the idea of clean hands, like you can't benefit from your own penalty, like get a second chance. So I think that's fine. That makes sense.
All right. I was trying to find a point at which this could be done, but it's like illegal touching a kick, fair catch interference, a palpably unfair act, a personal foul or unsportsmanlike conduct. So there's a handful of different things that could, I guess, all potentially stop the clock that would not allow the period to be extended.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So this next one, I don't like at all, but it's to put the ball in play at the receiving team's 25-yard line if there's a fair catch on a free kick behind the receiving team's 25-yard line. I feel as though this completely ruins kick returns.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why are we even doing it? It's just like a formality.
So I can't believe this got through the competition committee. Like, there was enough people there who said, yeah, this is a good idea. Mm-hmm. But there must be so much fear of injury on kickoffs that they want to kill pooching from the game, because that's basically, this is an anti-pooch measure. Mm-hmm. And what I feel like is maybe kind of like Congress or the Senate, people all have their own political interests in trying to get their own rule changed through the competition committee. And so in so doing, they promise to vote for some other people's one, knowing full well it won't pass at a full set of owners. I look at this, I say, there is no way in hell this passes with the full set of owners. In fact, this is something that I think it would almost have to come about as a CBA change to make it be anything that the teams and players would want to do. And it'd almost be a chit the owners might use in that, is to basically say, instead of kicking off, you can allow the kickoff, kick goes in the end zone, you get it to 25, or you start at the 20 automatically if you just want to take that instead, which that might not be a unreasonable exchange, by the way.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways they could approach trying to get the same player safety thing resolved. I know the XFL has tried a new kickoff measure that, you know, decreases the impact and the violence of it. So mm-hmm. I think there are other ways to do this that keep kicking, you know, kick returns in the game, but yeah, I highly suspect this will fail.
Yeah. This does not prevent squibbing. It doesn't prevent, you know, if you can cause the return man or the up back or whoever might be trying to field that ball to take a little bit more time fielding it and then get swarmed under. It doesn't create safety on any of that. It doesn't create safety for any of the coverage players as they get driven to the ground or blocked at high speed. It's just to me, it doesn't, it wouldn't cover all of the risks of kickoffs that they're hoping to cover, and teams would find new ways to not have a kickoff fair caught and still have a chance to cover a pooch of their own, a pooch or squib.
Right. So the last one is to clarify use of the helmet against an opponent by removing the butt ram spear language from Article 8 and incorporating those actions into impermissible use of the helmet. I just feel as though this is fine, and I think the calls will be made the same way. So
yeah, so this one certainly might pass. It's just a language one. I don't think anyone, unless there's some change that underlies this that actually changes the nature of what happens or the set of penalties involved, I wouldn't see why something like this, which is just a pure language clarification, would fail.
Right. Yeah. They move things. Like, that's the big difference. Like, if you look at it, like, parts get moved into the impermissible uses of the helmet rather than the unnecessary reference part. I don't know. It's just a little strange.
They did have some bylaws proposals as well. We're not going to go over those in this episode. Most of those are in terms of when's the claiming period. A lot of people wanted strength of victory as a higher tiebreaker in terms of awarding contracts. But anyway, there were various things that are there. A little too arcane, frankly, for this show, but I thought some interesting stuff in there. There are a total of five of those, which are bylaw proposals, two by teams, Detroit and Los Angeles, again, getting their rules in, the Chargers, and then three by the competition committee.
Yeah, these are definitely all like pretty interesting. Curious if what gets passed.
All right. Well, this is the week. The meetings will occur. We'll hear probably by the end of the week what's happened in terms of these rules proposals. The game of football will still look like football next year, with just a couple of probably very minor changes in terms of what's going on with penalties and review. Alec, I appreciate you coming on and talking about this with me. We really encourage people to listen to One Winning Pod. Give Alec's show a chance, and it's out there. About how many episodes are you putting out per week this time of year?
This time of year, we're doing maybe one episode a week or every other week. We have a plan to ramp up for the draft. We're just keeping it light, figuring out exactly how we want to cover the draft this year. So,
all right, very good. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a That One Play episode or any other idea you might have for a good short during this offseason, lots of opportunity, lots of time slots open. Hit me up with a DM on Twitter. They're always open. I'll get back to you very quickly, and we'll set a time to record. Alec, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.